nothing directly personal to him is primary to him. And we are shown repeatedly moments when he has to choose against his personal happiness in service of his wider mission. And that's what makes him Roman, and that's what makes him fit to found Rome. A fundamentally different idea. Achilles in this role, angry Achilles, is absolutely inconceivable. And that's the point. That's the point. That's why, so the implication would be, Greece wound up the way it did, and we Romans wound up the way we did. Because we know how to submit our personal will to the greater good. And the Greeks hardly see a greater good to submit their personal will to. It's all about me. And for Rome, no. It's all about us. It's all about us. And Aeneas is all about us. This is clear in the beginning, in the very beginning of the text. They are sailing along, the Trojans. Things are looking good. And against the Trojans is Hera in her Roman guise as Juno, the queen of the gods. And she hates the Trojans because Paris long ago picked Aphrodite, or in a Roman context, Venus, over her as the fairest. Venus, as it happens for reasons we'll talk about later on, is Aeneas' mother. Hera, she doesn't want these people to found a new place, so she goes to the king of the winds, bribes him with a really hot, sexy nymph, and says, let him loose, sink these guys for me. And he does. There's a giant storm, a storm so giant we're told that air is mixing with fire in the form of lightning and water and waves and sand, and the four elements are collapsing and chaos has returned to the world. It's just awful. And Aeneas' initial reaction to that is, I wish I were dead. But he shuts up. He shuts up. And thinking that every ship in his fleet except his own has gone down, they make it through and he lands. And the first thing he does, though he wants out, he's sick of it, he wants to be dead, is the first thing we hear him say to anybody is, buck up. Hey, this isn't as bad as you think. Someday even thinking about this will be fun. That's what it is to be an Aeneas, to keep your personal feelings under control and to do what is necessary for the group. That's Aeneas. That's Aeneas through and through, and that's Rome through and through. Because Aeneas, above all, is a man with a mission. Not a man trying to fulfill his personal potential, not a man trying to keep his kleos up to snuff and keep Agamemnon from dissing him. No. He is a man whose job it is to found the nation that will bring order to the world, and that is a mission to which he is required to submit whatever conflicts with it. All of this emphasis on commitment to mission takes on a deeper and added resonance when we put it into the political context in which Virgil wrote it. Virgil worked on the Aeneid from the year 29 to the year 19 BCE. And what he is writing about and the way he portrays Aeneas is no accident, given that political context. 2 years before he began, in 31 BCE, Octavian and his military leaders defeated Antony and Cleopatra at the Battle of Actium. Octavian was the son of Julius Caesar, adopted son, but nevertheless heir of Julius Caesar. He was, in actual physiological fact, his great nephew.